Hallelujah. Now, next Sunday is going to be the last Sunday of the month, and it's going to be prophetic praise and testimony Sunday. Hallelujah. You're going to be celebrating the goodness of God. I don't know about you, this year has been great. Hallelujah. It's been an awesome year. Maybe you haven't had any reason to thank God. Let me just let you know, the fact that you are alive is enough reason. Amen. You are not among those that were buried this year, so thank God. Hallelujah. The people that started with us, they are not here today. But you are still alive and well. And I know you have dreams that still need to be accomplished. God will accomplish them for you in Jesus' name. And begin to get yourself ready for January. 21 days of fasting begins on the Monday after Christmas. I believe that's the 5th of January. And that will carry us through till the 26th or thereabout. Praise God. It's going to be an exciting time. I trust God, the heavens will be open, yokes will be broken, and you enter 2015 with a high hand. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads as we'll pray. Father, we want to thank you today. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your love, and thank you for your presence. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for helping us through the year. And Lord, today as we look into your word, speak to our hearts. Bless us with your word. Let yokes be destroyed. Let burdens be removed. And let your name and your name alone be glorified. In Jesus' name, let the people of God say amen. Hallelujah. Turn your Bibles quickly to the book of Acts, chapter number 14. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. This morning we're going to be breaking every financial siege over your life. Every hole of the spirit of poverty and lack and want, God will destroy today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We are in a good season. And you must partake of that season in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Acts chapter number 11 from verse 27. The word of God declares, "And in those days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great drought throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudio Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to look at this quickly, and God helping us, we'll see how far we go. If we don't finish today, we'll continue on Wednesday. Now, the Bible tells us here, this is a very good scripture because I'm tying it to what God has already given to us. For the next 7 years, God has spoken well concerning us. Spoken well concerning this house. And spoken well concerning your life. That the next 7 years of your life is 7 years of great plenty. Hallelujah. I told us many times how this all came about, how the Lord spoke to me, and also the confirmation from other men of God over the face of the world. Now, one of the great servants of God in still alive today is Maurice Arullo, who is over 80 years of age, I think about 85 or thereabout now, and still strong in the Lord. And he's one of the great prophets of God. One of the things that happened before the recession started over the face of the earth was that Maurice Arullo began to declare that it was going to be a time of recession that was coming by the Spirit of God. And he declared that, and before you know, the whole world economy began to go into chaos, and every country began to have, most countries in the world, began to have issues with finances, from United States all to Europe, and also some other countries around the face of the world. Now, Maurice Arullo, sometime this year, was sharing with us how he spoke about the prophetic word after God gave us a word in July, that there's going to be 7 years of great plenty coming over the face of the earth, coming over the face of the believers, coming over our lives. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Now, that was one of the flyers where he was doing that. But recently this week, I think earlier this week, he sent me another letter about the 7 years of great plenty and getting ready to step into it. I was showing that to my wife. Now, the reason I'm saying that to you is because where we just read in scripture, the Bible tells us there was a time in scripture where God spoke through a prophet, because the Bible will say the Lord God will do nothing except he revealed it to his servant the prophet. Every time God is about to do something good in your life, he sends it through a word by a prophet. And that is why every time nothing changes in your life for good until God sends a prophetic word to you. Sometimes just by sitting in the house like this, where you are sitting, a word comes to you. And from that word, your life turns around for good. And that's how God always works. He sends his word, and his word heals them and delivers them from their destruction. Hallelujah. So the Bible tells us where we just read, at this time, the Bible says in the church, a particular church in Antioch, just as we are in Newcastle, was a small church. It wasn't the church in Jerusalem, which was the mother church, who was the big church. But it was a church somewhere in the city of Antioch. But the Bible says prophets came, because in the kingdom of God, we have prophets. Hallelujah. Prophets are the mouthpiece of God. The people that God will give words to say, this is what I'm about to do. And it's important that we always have prophets among us, because it helps us to know the direction to begin to tailor our lives. Hallelujah. It helps us to begin to know how to prepare our life and what kind of expectation we should have. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, at this time, the prophets, they came from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there was one of them, which was he was a mega prophet, if you can call it that way, because later on you'll still see the Bible talk about him again, about life of Paul, what was going to happen to Paul. His name was Agabus. And the Bible says, Agabus stood by the Spirit and began to declare by the Spirit of God. Now, at this time, everything looked good. But Agabus began to say, this is what God is saying. There is going to be a great drought, a great famine. Difficult time is coming over the face of the earth. And he says he said that by the Spirit of God. And when he prophesied it, just the same way God has said by his prophet. And I'm humbly glad that God also used me as one of those who would declare it over the face of the earth. That there's going to be 7 years of great plenty coming over the face of the earth. So Agabus stood to declare that there is a season of drought coming. Now that tells us where they were at that time was a good season. There wasn't drought at that time. But he was saying by the Spirit of God, there's going to be famine, great famine, severe economic crisis that was going to come. That was what Agabus was saying. And the Bible says it actually came to pass during the time of Claudius Caesar. So it wasn't just like God just dropped a word. It's something that is definitely going to pass. And I'm saying here today that 7 years of great plenty, you are stepping into it now. Because it will definitely come to pass. I am declaring to you, for the next 7 years, you will experience great plenty. You will experience the hand of God in your life. Because this is not the work of a man, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You must understand when the Holy Spirit takes over, from when things, you see, some people, they've lived their life without the benefit of the Spirit of God. They've just done all they know how to do. But there are seasons in our life when the Spirit of God, by the grace of God, takes over and determined to do what's good. It is left for us to step into the flow, to prepare ourselves for it. Hallelujah. Now the Bible says, Agabus said, there's going to be great famine over the land. It came to pass. And the Bible says, the believers, okay, which were at Antioch, began to gather stuff to send to those that were in Judea. Now, ladies and gentlemen, why is it that the believers in Judea needed help when the famine came? But the ones that were in Antioch did not need help. They were sending to the people on Judea. Now, probably, can't be 100% sure, but probably they didn't hear the prophetic word. They were not taught the prophetic word. They didn't hear that there is 7 years of great plenty coming. So they lived their life as if nothing was going to happen. So when famine came, it hit them so bad that they needed relief. They needed help from those who heard the word. Is somebody hearing me? Now, the church at Antioch, I believe that when they heard the prophetic word, they took it seriously and they began to prepare themselves for the years of famine. Because the Bible tells us when Pharaoh had the dream of 7 years of great plenty, he also had that after the 7 years, there will be 7 years of drought. And Joseph told him, prepare now for the time of drought. So when they prepared, when drought came, Egypt did not know drought because people were coming to buy food from Egypt. Are you following me? But they had tailored their life to the word of God, to the prophetic word. Is somebody hearing me today? And that is why when you hear a prophetic word, because the Bible tells us the people who had, I believe God, that when they were told that, hey, by the Spirit of God, there's going to be famine over the face of the earth. Things are not going to go well. People are going to enter financial difficulty. I trust that the church in Antioch began to prepare themselves. They began to teach their people. They began to tell the people how to prepare so that when famine comes, they will laugh. Because the Bible says, at destruction and famine, thou shalt what? Laugh. In other words, you don't know that there is famine. Now, this period of recession that is just getting over now, over the face of the earth, I don't even know if it's over yet, okay? Over the face of the earth, nations are still trying to come out of it. Some of them seem like they have come out of it. But do you know, for some of us, this season of recession has been the best time in our life. I don't know about you. It's been one of the best times in our life. This is the season God has prospered us more. I mean, when people are complaining and saying, oh, it's hard, this is that. This is the season that God himself has prospered his people more. Why? Because we don't walk by what the world says. We walk by the word of God. So when you tie your life to the word of God, when the time of drought comes, you will not know. But I'm not here today to tell you about drought because that's not the prophetic word for us. The prophetic word for us is that there is 7 years of great plenty coming over the face of the earth. There is 7 years of abundance coming to your life. There is 7 years of prosperity that God is bringing to you. There is 7 years where God will change your finances. God will change your destiny. God will turn things around for your good. Now it is up to you to tie yourself to the word. Because the disciples at Jerusalem, they needed relief. Why? Because they didn't hear the prophetic word. And there might also be people who heard it, but they were careless about it. They didn't see it. Now, can I say to you, I just put this into your spirit. The year is not over yet. God hasn't stopped working now. Somebody hearing me? There are still things that God will do for you this year that will not enter into next year. There is still a miracle coming your way this year. It is not over yet. And I prophesy to you that 2015 will not come until God completes that in your life. In the name of Jesus, God will cause that goodness to come your way before this year is over. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. Now, I understand that even though God has given us words, a prophetic word of greatness, there are areas or there are people who are under satanic agendas, whose finances the enemy has determined to hold. Where people are rejoicing and talking about plenty, Satan is trying to keep them in perpetual poverty. And may I let you know, people, poverty is not an idea, it's a spirit. It's a satanic spirit. And when that spirit enters into your life, it will wreck you and it will bring you to nothing. And there is nothing you can do where the spirit of poverty is at work in your life. There's nothing you can do. Anything you do brings nothing because there is a spirit at work who is determined that you will not prosper. And that is why today, as we prepare, as we get ourselves ready to enter into 2015, you will enter with a high hand in the name of Jesus. And every yoke of poverty and lack that is tying your finances, tying your future in one corner, refusing you to enter into the plenty that God has determined for you, will be destroyed in the name of Jesus. Now, quickly, what are the manifestations of the spirit of poverty? So that when we talk about the spirit of lack and financial siege, you understand when you experience a manifestation so you can fight against it. Now, one of the signs or the manifestation, I'll give you seven quickly today. I'll run through them. But one of them is that there is labor without reward. When you are under a siege financially, when you are under the bondage of poverty, what happens is that you work. It's not like you don't work. It's not about working. You work. You can do every work, but no reward. Deuteronomy chapter number 8, quickly, if you can help me to put it up faster, that would be great. 8 from verse 11, the word of God says, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandment and his judgment and his statute, which I command thee this day. List, when thou had eaten," now look at this, he's talking about wealth, "when thou hast eaten and had full and had built goodly houses," somebody say amen to that. Because you are building goodly houses. Hallelujah. He says, "and dwell therein," you will live in the one you build. You see, there is something about laboring and another person taking it over. But the Bible is saying you are not laboring for another. You will dwell therein. Is somebody hearing me? Is somebody hearing what I'm saying today? Hallelujah. He says, "and dwell therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply," this is prosperity, "when there is multiplication of your substance," he says, "and thy silver and thy gold multiply, and all that thou hast is multiplied." Now he's speaking about prosperity, the time of abundance. He said, that thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, from the land of bondage." Now, what God is saying to them, and I'd like you to follow me closely. God was saying, before you came here, where you are going to be prospering, where you will be building houses, where your silver will multiply, where your gold will multiply, where your substance will multiply, you were in the house of bondage, in the house of Egypt. Now, what is the difference? In the land of Egypt, these people worked more. They were under tax master. They were working day and night. They were made to go under hard, rigorous labor. But we know that they were not paid for it. Why? Because they were under the control of the spirit of poverty. So, God is telling them, now that I have brought you out, I have brought you into a land where you are going to prosper. 7 years of great plenty. Somebody hearing me? God is saying, before you came, you were in a place. And there are those who Satan have kept in a place. They labor. They do all the work. They work very hard. It's not because they don't work. They work very hard. Money and night. They do all they can do. Nothing to show for it. When the spirit of poverty enters a life, your labor is not rewarded. That is one of the manifestations of the spirit in your life. When you are putting so much effort and nothing is, and that is why when God was delivering them, bringing them out, one of the things he said to them, he said, "Spoil the Egyptians. All the times you labored and they did not pay you, right now go to them, get their silver, get their gold, and you are coming out with a high hand." And I prophesy to somebody here who has been laboring no reward, that from this day, from this moment, the Spirit of God brings you out with a high hand, and you will come out with silver, you will come out with gold, and from today your labor will be rewarded. In the name of Jesus. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Manifestations of the spirit of poverty, of financial siege over your life. Spirit of laboring without reward. Another sign or manifestation of the spirit of poverty or financial seed over your life is abandoned project. Abandoned project. You start a project. You started very well with expectation of finishing it. But somewhere along the line, Satan attacks it. And all of a sudden, it's abandoned. Abandoned for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, till you forget that you were even doing a project before. Why? Because Satan has decided to attack your finance. There are those who started building projects. And after a while, in fact, till they die, they didn't finish it. Sometimes when you go to places, maybe in Africa, where people build on their own, not like here where you buy properties, you go, you will see some houses, you know that this one they've been doing it for before I was born. It was there. What happened to the person that was doing it? They started it, and some of us had parents who started a project and they died without finishing it. Why? Because something came against them. Their finances was placed under siege. Satan made sure that it will not work. They did all they knew how to do, but the project ended abandoned. I come to prophesy to you today. You will never again suffer any abandoned project. In the name of Jesus, every project you start, you will finish it. I take authority over the spirit of abandoned project. I destroy it this morning. I come against it this morning. In the name of Jesus, I speak for strength for you to finish that you have started. In the name of Jesus. Word of God declared the hand of Zerubbabel started the foundation of this house. His hands also will finish it. I prophesy the finisher's anointing upon you. The project that you started, you will finish it in the name of Jesus. Every project you lay your hand to, I prophesy upon you the grace to complete, the grace to finish in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of poverty is destroyed from your life in the name of Jesus. Bakura katatata tabos libra suta. If you read the book of Ezra chapter number 4, just give me verse 23 and 24. The Bible tells us the children of Israel started a project to build the temple of God. But as they started, the Bible says, all of a sudden, conspiracy began to happen. Satan began to stir up people who began to come with laws, begin to come with things, and began to write letters to the king, and began to stir up legal challenge against them, and began to bring what their ancestors did. Said, these people, they are rebellious people. If you let them build, they will not be under your control anymore. And they are people whose life is just about to begin. And all of a sudden, all the devils in their father's house rise up. I said, they are history. They shouldn't do it all. They shouldn't be allowed to do it. And the Bible tells us when they wrote to the king replied. Don't have time to read everything, but you can read it when you go home, chapter 4, 5, 6, all of them. Look at what it says in verse 23. It says, now, when the copy of the king Astazera's letter was read before Rehum and Shishaiah, the scribe, and their companion, they went up in haste to Jerusalem unto the Jews and made them to cease by force and by power. All of a sudden, they came in haste. Is building. Where did he start it? He's starting a project. The Bible said they came in haste by force and power. And made them to cease. Abandon projects. I prophesy to you. Every power of hell, every satanic conspiracy, standing against your project, standing against your finances, in the name of Jesus, I command it destroyed. So they made them cease. Verse 24, take a seat. The Bible says, then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem, So he sees unto the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. The work ceased. Satan stopped them. Satan came and stopped them. They had started the work, but he made them abandon it. Somebody, that project you abandoned before, you are going to pick it up again. You are picking it up again. You are picking it up again. In the name of Jesus, I prophesy to you, you are picking it up again, and you will complete it. In the name of Jesus. It's not only in building project. There are other projects of life that people abandon. Started a degree you couldn't finish. Started this, you abandon it halfway. Started a marriage, but abandon it. Started a relationship, abandon. Everything, as soon as it's about to happen, Satan comes in and make you stop it halfway. I stand by the Spirit of God, and I come against that devil from your life. 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 In the name of Jesus, I break the siege. 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 In the name of Jesus. Bakali Gamandosa. Abandoned project. Bakila Gadadadadas. Ibaratatas. Igradoron de Hila Bababosha. Ekila Baratatas. Zegedegedegedes. Legila Bagadabakatas. Silekelikarakatas. Zaligradas. Legedegedegedes. Ila Baratatas. Andelebrados. He has done so much for me. He has taken away my sorrow. Oh, glory, hallelujah. He's coming to take me home. He has done so much for me.
He's done so much for me.
Ali Barabakadis.
He has taken away gratis. My sorrow.
Oh, glory.
Oh, glory,
hallelujah.
He's coming to take me home.
Me home. Hallelujah. Be seated in the presence of God. Another manifestation, remember we're looking at the manifestation of the spirit of poverty. The spirit that fights against God's people's finances. Because you are entering 7 years of plenty. You are entering 7 years of abundance. Therefore, every devil that says you will not enter today is buried. In the name of Jesus, you must testify of this greatness. Another manifestation of the spirit of poverty is satanic orchestrated distractions. Satanic orchestrated distractions. Distractions that Satan bring your way to pull you out from the focus that you have. From the focus of what you want to do. You determine that this is the way I'm going to do it this year. I'm going to buy this house. I'm going to put that into that project. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. All of a sudden, the money you had planned to use for this, something else just come. And all of a sudden, it's siphoned. It's diverted. It's distracted. There are people, anytime they manage to put something together for a project, just before they will start, something comes. Satanic distraction. Distraction that also comes in the form of legal requirements. You cannot do this because the law says this. You cannot do this because of this law that is standing against you. You cannot do this without, it's a satanic distraction trying to keep you in that place, making sure you can't move from there. But I come to prophesy over your life. I come to speak over you that that distraction is removed today. Every law that is tying you down, that law is destroyed today. Everything put together, orchestrated against you to take your focus, is destroyed today. In the name of Jesus. Satanic distractions is a manifestation of the spirit of poverty. When you have put something together, all of a sudden, the car just broke down. Your car has been okay. It is when you just got this money now, the car broke down. Then you have to pay for the repairs. You pay for the repair. You just pay and pay and pay and pay. And the devil waits until the money comes to zero. Then he says, yes, the car is okay now. When you have determined satanic distractions, satanic distraction comes in all form and shape. Comes in different ways. Sometimes it just comes as a different kind of opportunity, but it's a distraction from that you have determined to do. You see, let me tell you something, and you must understand this. Listen to me very carefully. Understand this about God. When God is blessing you, and God is at work in your life, and another opportunity comes that looks good, if it is from God, God gives you the resources to meet that as well. If that one is going to siphon the one that was coming before, it's a satanic distraction. If it is from God, God also, look at the book of Isaiah chapter number 3, Isaiah 9 verse 3. If you can quickly get that for me, that would be great. You know, Isaiah chapter 9 verse 3 says, thou has multiplied the nation and not increased their joy. The joy before thee, according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoiced when they divide the spoil. Let me explain that to you quickly. It says you have multiplied the nation. The King James Version puts it this way. You have not increased their joy. Now, other versions will say you've increased their joy, but that's not what I'm after. What I want to show you is this. When you are multiplied, God multiplies joy. Don't think you are getting me. When God decides to increase you, he increases you and also the thing that you need to make sure your joy is not decreased. So God will not give you a project or give you a gift. At the end of the day, that gift is what brings your grief. So when God multiplies you, God is also increasing your joy to meet the new level where he has promoted you to. So if God says, from that your one shop, you are having two shops, he brings the resources to make sure that you can maintain both, so your joy is also increased. He does not increase you and decrease your joy. How can God multiply the people and not multiply their joy? Then what happens? If you are multiplied and your joy is not multiplied, you wither. Why did the Bible say that the pomegranate, the fruit, the this, the that, they are withered away? Because joy is withered from the sons of men. Because if you increase and your joy doesn't increase, then eventually it's destruction. There are those who God blesses with a baby, and that baby becomes the source of their death. It kills their life. Why? Because there was no increase in joy. There was no increase in joy when the baby came. So some women have baby and suffer postpartum depression for the rest of their life. The joy is supposed to come to maintain you in your new status that he has brought you into. God does not bring you to a status, then he takes away joy from you. Anything like that is a satanic orchestrated destruction. And every opportunity that the devil wants to use to distract your life, I prophesy against it, that it is destroyed today, it is buried today, in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Satanic destruction. Look at what the Bible says they did against Ezra and his people. They were building. Then all of a sudden, Satan came with a distraction. Nehemiah was building, and distraction came. Nehemiah said, I'm not coming down. I'm going to finish what I've started. Why? Because Satan finds a way to stop you in the midst of your prosperity. But not anymore. There's something about the word of God. When the word of God begins to expose the devil, he loses his power. And he's exposed here today. In the name of Jesus. Somebody shout amen. Another manifestation of the spirit of poverty, lack, financial siege is the spirit of slumber. The spirit of slumber. The spirit of slumber. You just find yourself unnecessarily tired. When it comes to that thing that is important in your life, you find yourself, you just sleep off. And sleep, it goes with poverty. There is a time for rest. Rest is different from slumber. But slumber is a satanic siege to keep you in poverty. Let's look at some scripture. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 13. We can do this quickly. Proverbs 20, 13. Look at what the word of God says there. Proverbs 20, 13. Hallelujah. It says, love not sleep, lest that come to what? It comes with it. When he's at work, he just keeps you sleeping. He says, open thy eyes and thou shalt be what? Satisfied with bread. Open your eyes. When you love sleep, you just sleep. You sleep daytime, you sleep nighttime, you sleep. The only time you get up is when you just want to take something to eat. Then you go back to bed and you lie down again, cover your head with the duvet, and you just stare and you wake up again. The spirit of poverty just baptized you. And today, you see, for some of us, we think it's a joke because we don't experience it. And we see these people that have these problems, we think, oh, they are just, get up, go and do. They can't. Because it's a siege over their life. It's a siege. That is the way Satan has determined to hold them. Damn! Where he has kept them. Keep sleeping. Keep sleeping. Spend your life in sleeping, not awake. How do you spend your reality in dream for the rest of your life? Somebody hearing me? The reality of your life. You know, when you are awake, your life is moving. But there are those who are sleeping. You sleep 20 hours a day. You spend your life in dream world. Alice in Wonderland. Praise God forevermore. But even though it might look funny, but that is the reality of some people's life. It's because there is a conspiracy to keep you there. That project that you are supposed to do, that job you were supposed to apply for, as soon as you sat down to apply, now when you take your mind off it, say, I don't want to apply anymore, sleep just disappears. When you sit before the television, you can just sit there 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, sleep didn't come. You played the video game, sleep didn't come. You were doing all the chat on Facebook, sleep didn't come. You say, okay, now I am going to apply for the job. And as you put your hand, the first line you write is a manifestation of the spirit of poverty. It might look so simple, but that is the way it operates. Look at the book of Proverbs again. Proverbs chapter number 6, verse 9. You give me 9 to 11. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He says, how long will thou sleep, O sluggard? When will thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hand to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and want as an armed man. A little sleep. Let me just sleep a little bit more. You missed the interview. Let me just sleep a little bit more. The bus just left. You got to the bus stop. It's gone. Let me just sleep a little. It says, so shall your poverty. It means the spirit of poverty has targeted you and has put you in a corner. And what it's using is the spirit of slumber. Now, there is a part. The Bible says, God giveth his beloved sleep. He doesn't give them slumber. There is a path to sleep, which God gives to us for rest, for refreshing. But when your life, you wake, you sleep, you get up, you want to sleep again, you in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, it's time to see God. Let that devil break from your life. And I see it destroyed today. In the name of Jesus. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Now the spirit of sleep also goes with the spirit of laziness. It goes with laziness. When someone has been tied out with the spirit of slumber, they also orchestrate laziness so that you cannot, I'm talking about the manifestation of the spirit of poverty. The manifestation, the signs, the symbols you see in your life, and you know that no. Satan is trying to tie me down in poverty. The signs you need to watch out for. The Bible tells us the one that the sluggard will not toil, will not do anything. Sluggard also means lazy. Now look at the scriptures. Let me give you a few scriptures here. Proverbs chapter number 12, verse 27. Proverbs 12, 27. It says, the slothful man, the lazy man, roasted not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. Now, the Bible says, when a lazy man, he's gone to hunt. In other words, he's gone to do all the necessary jobs that he needed to do. And he actually caught something. He comes back with what he has hunted. The Bible says he will not roast it. So it will be with him. It will be getting rotten, but he's too lazy to even just go on to it. There are those who are so lazy. They went and wrote interviews or applications, interviews, and they called them for the day of interview. They woke up that day. Should I go for this interview? Maybe I don't really like this job. Maybe the Spirit of God is not leading me. I think it's not what God wants for me. Laziness paralyzes them. The Bible says the slothful man will say, there is a lion in the way. I can't go out. In other words, he gives himself reasons why he shouldn't do what he needs to do. And in his own mind, it's a genuine reason. It's a spirit of poverty. The Bible says he's a slothful man. He will keep himself there. Look at the book of Proverbs 19:24. Proverbs 19:24. Quickly. It says, a slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. In other words, this lazy man puts his hand inside his bosom. He will not even bring it to feed himself. Feed me. Feed me. I am not well. Pastor, can you not see I'm not well? Feed me. Put the food in my mouth. The Bible says it's a spirit of poverty. Trying to tie them. The devil knows that if he can keep you in that mindset, in that attitude, there is no way you are coming out of lack. When you agree to it and leave yourself in that place, he will keep you perpetually there. There is a siege trying to keep you. And some of these siege are ancestral. They are not just natural things. That is the way your parents were. That's how you are now. But I come to you with the word of God today. Amen. That siege is broken. Amen. That siege is lifted. Amen. That siege is taken away. Amen. You see, there are people who are just, they are just tired. They don't know why. They sleep for 12 hours. They get up. They feel tired. Just weak. All through the day, weak. They can't focus. They try to focus their mind. It's like, what is wrong? They go to the doctors. Doctors, okay, maybe you need pill. They give them the pill. The pill doesn't even make anything work. They go back home. They just sleep. They get up weak. They can't go to job. They can't fill an application. They can't do their coursework. They can't do simple things that people do naturally. Becomes a body. They wake up in the morning even to have a bath. It's like, they can't get up to go to the bathroom. To watch their teeth, there's this just weakness. And it's not something that happened one day because you were so tired after so much job. It's just a lifestyle. It's every day. You just find yourself weak, weak, weak. There's no strength to do anything. No passion in your life. You lost your focus. I say, what is my life? And probably before, you were somebody that was so energetic. You do things. You set your mind on a project and it is done. Then now you see yourself in a season where you are just. They tell you, okay, something is happening. They say, I will come. What time is it? 12 o'clock. When 12 o'clock comes, you realize that you are still lying down. You can't get up from the bed. Somebody tells you, come, I'm going to give you a contract. I mean, the person is the one that says, I'll give you the contract to do the job. But the time comes for the contract, you won't go. Say, I'm so tired. Let me just call him. Maybe we'll do it another day. Sorry, today is not a good day for me. Can we do it another day? And the person says, okay, yes, we'll do it another day. Somebody else is waiting. That devil of poverty just succeeded. You just missed that opportunity. Why? It's a spirit that puts a siege. But you know what? 7 years of great plenty is coming. And no siege will keep you. No devil of hell will put you down. In the name of Jesus. Quickly, another spirit or manifestation of the spirit of poverty and lack is the spirit of the waster. And I'd like you to listen to me very carefully as we talk about the waster. It's a satanic spirit that Satan put in the life of people that they cannot gather. Every time they gather, it's blown away. It's the spirit of the waster. Look at what the Bible says here in Proverbs 18 verse 9. Proverbs 18 verse 9. It says, he also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great what? Waster. Now, if you read the book of Isaiah, the Bible talks in Isaiah chapter 54 verse 16. God was speaking. He said, I have created the waster that destroyeth. Because the waster, what it does is to destroy. Now, if you read the book of Haggai chapter 1 verse 9, the Bible says, when you walk, you expect more, you get little, and even the little you bring home, I blow it away. Why? It's a spirit of waste. And there are people whose life is just a life of waste. They are good in wasting resources. Anything you put in their hand is a waste. Now, somebody will buy a new phone every year. Every year. They just buy phone. Not that they are using all the new phones, but they know how to waste their money. And Satan just makes it that they cannot plan. The money that they have spent for things that are irrelevant, if they have concentrated it in a direction of focus, they would have done great things. But you know what? The spirit of waste make them to, you see, Jesus is so careful about waste so that the day that they finish eating, and they had waste. He told them, gather the fragments. Gather the fragments. There are those whose waste is they just want to have people about for party every weekend. Come to my house. They sponsor it every weekend. Come to my house. There's party this week. Come on. There's nothing wrong in having a party, but if you have a party every week, you have a problem. If every week people come to your house, and you just buy, as soon as you feel, oh, there's money here, let's drink, let's eat. Hey. Next week again, the other week again, you need deliverance. And you'll be delivered today. In the name of Jesus. It's the spirit of the waster. There are people whose finances, the amount they have wasted on things that are not relevant. I mean, wasted on things that they just praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, you are someone who is earning so and so, but you just waste money on things that you know you will not need. You know, somebody said, don't buy even what you don't need, even if it's cheap. Even if you don't need it, don't buy it. When you buy it, what do you do with it? You store it. Every day, there are those who have clothes in their wardrobe they've not worn for 1 year. 1 year. In fact, some of them for 10 years. Now, I am not even talking about the ones you used to wear, but now you no longer wear. There are those who bought a new one. They've not stepped into it. But they just liked it. They saw somebody, that lady in church, I saw that bag she carried. It's nice. I'm going to buy it. Then they buy it and they store it. Every day they look at it. It's a waster. It's a spirit of poverty. There is no waster that can gather. There is something about gathering. But if you are a waster, you won't be able to gather. Now, quickly, another manifestation of the spirit of poverty is keeping you in wrong association. Look at what the Bible says. The Bible says in Proverbs 28, verse 19. Quickly. Proverbs 28, 19. It says, he that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread. The one that walks. Say, but he that followed after vain persons shall have what? Not just poverty.
Enough.
Enough. I mean, he will have the poverty. He will have it enough. Why? Because he's following who? Vain persons. In other words, vain persons are those that are going nowhere. They don't have plan for their life. And they want to keep you there. And Satan is good in tying those he has bound with poverty to keep. You see, people like that are critical of anybody that is succeeding. They see somebody that is succeeding. Ah, do you know what they are doing to make it? You don't know what they put their hand into. Don't mind them. You think it's just what they are saying? They are, well, I'll just be the way I am. I like where I am. You will have poverty enough. That's what the Bible says. They become critical. Have you not seen people who are poor? They see people who are rich. All they talk about is how those people are wicked, what they have done bad, how they got their money evil, how they did. But in their own life, they don't want to do anything. But you know what? They are comfortable with vain men, people who are like them, who do not have any future, any focus. They don't want to move themselves. They want to stay. You see, I was telling somebody recently when I was back home, I said, listen, change this, your friends. As I see all of them, if you stay with them, Pastor Victor was with me. I said, these people, they are all going nowhere. They are the people you are to get. You will be like them. You will remain like them because they don't have the, somebody says it's been, I'm trying not so you don't know who I'm talking about. You know, praise God. Now, you have a friend who is telling you that, well, just leave that side of things. Amen. Praise God. Vain man. You know, Satan likes to put you, if you cannot admire people that are doing good, then it means the spirit of poverty is already locating you. You are a businessman, admire Richard Branson, he's done well.
Yes, sir.
And try to do well. Not sit there and criticize him for money tonight. What do you know about him?
Yeah.
When did you know about him? Is somebody hearing me? I'm not just talking about money, but I'm talking about other areas for your career. Your career, the things that you know. If you know, the Bible says, he that walketh with the wise shall be wise. The companion of fools shall be destroyed. I believe Proverbs 20:13, I believe there about. He said, the companion of fools shall be destroyed. In other words, if you keep walking with those who do not have aspiration, they just want to, it's okay. That's all you are comfortable with. He says, you'll be destroyed. You shall have poverty enough. But nobody's having poverty enough here. In the name of Jesus. Because that spirit is living your life today. Your finances have been released. In the name of Jesus. Every satanic orchestrated walk against your life today is destroyed. Quickly, the last one I'll give you today is stinginess. The spirit of poverty goes with the spirit of stinginess. People who are bound with that spirit. I'm not talking about how much you have. I'm talking about the attitude. Are you following me? Stinginess is tight-fistedness. When something enters your hand, you cannot, let the heaven fall. This one is my own. It shows that a poverty-stricken spirit is in your life. And it will be broken today. You know, this is the one that some people don't like to break. They'll say, if I'm stingy, leave me like that. I just want, leave me, it's my own, let me just. It's because Satan is determined to keep you there. Doesn't want you. Look at what the Bible says in Proverbs 11:24, quickly. Proverbs 11:24. Praise God forevermore. Proverbs 11:24. It says, there is that scattereth. And yet, increase it. And there is that withhold it. More than his meat, but he tended to poverty. Can you give me more modern English, please? Something that will make it easier to explain. He said, one man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another man withholds unduly, but comes to what? Poverty. So when the spirit of poverty wants to hold a man, it makes him hold unduly. The thing that, you know, recently, when I was back on mission with Pastor Victor, we're in a church, and you know me, naturally, I don't like people coming here to raise offerings. That's why I don't like it. So I don't do it when I go to people's churches. But I was in this, no, Pastor Victor was not with me on that day. I was in this church ministering, and I'd finished ministering, and I went to sit down. They wish my, come and give it my, just went to sit down, finish my ministration, sat down. But while I was sitting there, the Spirit of God began to say to me, you should raise an offering. We should raise an offering for them. I was struggling with it. So after a while, I spoke to the man of God and I said, this is what the Lord is placing in my heart. I don't normally do it. Pastor Bishop Willie was with me and he's a witness. I go to his church, I don't raise offerings. I said, but I feel strongly that God wants me to do this. And he said, I will be happy if you do. So I decided to do it. And to be honest, I gave twice of what I asked anybody to give. Not because I was going to, it's not, the offering wasn't for me. It's for the church. It's for somebody here. And I raised an offering for them and people came out and, you know, things happened. And after that, the man of God, they actually had a crusade that weekend and they didn't have money for the crusade. He was so excited because from that meeting, God provided the bill to pay off the crusade. I'm not a part of the church. I don't follow what they do there, but I felt strongly God wanted me to do that. And he did that. Then he told me later, we spoke later, when I came back, I gave him a call and he was telling me, he said, you know, when you guys left, some people of the church said, oh, we don't like that kind of thing or that they come and raise money. He says, but the next week, when they meet this meeting on the Wednesdays, he said the next Wednesday, people that gave, they came out and began to testify. Before I got home, this was what happened. I was sick. Financial phone calls, things that happened within 1 week. They had to now declare Sunday Thanksgiving because of what God did. Is somebody hearing me? But there were people who were sitting there opening their mouth because they were baptized with the spirit of poverty. They didn't give up, but they want to stop any other person that want to enter their miracle. They were there to say, this thing, they shouldn't give. He said, when they were not giving testimony, and I said, all those ones that you came to complain, your mouth, God has shut it now himself. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? There are people who are baptized with the spirit of poverty, and God says to them, I like you to go and do this because it's about to open the door for you. They won't do it. Now, so I'm just going to share this. My mother-in-law was telling me recently, just permit me to use this. I'm going to use it anyway, she told me. So, I'm a pastor. I'm standing in my office now. Hallelujah. Praise God. No, she was telling me back home, a man of God came to their church. And when the man of God came, he ministered, man of God was awesome and all that. Then he said, you know, normally when you have a man of God over for some days, you pay their lodging, you pay their feeding, you take care of them and all that, which is normal. It's what we do here as well. And the man of God stood and said, anybody that wants to pay for my hotel, if you want to pay for my hotel, come, I'm going to bless you. God will do something because you understand that. And I was saying to the men yesterday, every time we bring a guest here, the minimum is about 1,000 for every one person we get here. That is the minimum. Okay, so you understand that they don't come and preach and they pay their transport and they go. They need to live by the Bible says those that preach the gospel should live by the gospel. Okay, so anyway, that's not it. So he said, this man said that then she said to her daughter, said, go out, I will pay. And the daughter actually went out, okay, which is Pastor Fume's younger sister now, went out and they paid. Okay? And the man of God blessed them. From nowhere, they sent a letter. They live in Benin. They sent a letter to say she's been nominated to go to Japan to go and represent Nigerian Bar Association. Now, she's just a new, I don't think she's been practicing for up to 3 years. 3 years now. She's been practicing for 3 years now. That all the people there, God located her. Now, if she sat there and refused to release what is in her hand, she will still be there and she wouldn't know the opportunity she missed. People were asking her, who did you go and meet? Who did you know? She said, I don't know anybody. But you know what? When God is about to release people and he says to them, release what is in your hand, sometimes you say, the Bible says you are in poverty. When you hold what you are supposed to release, sometimes prophetic instruction comes and say, do this, do that. You say, I said to them in that church where I was just talking about, I said, listen, some of you have been using your senses all these years. It hasn't worked for you. Why don't you try God's own now? You have been using your sense to say, you see, I was telling you guys, I went home, and let me tell you, every time I said, give here, I give myself. The account people, their weakness, they will know that by the grace of God, I am sure that my giving, I'll leave that page. But I give in this house. It is my lifestyle. I'm not just saying. I was telling you, I went to a church. I told them to give something. I gave twice. I'm not a member of the church. I gave twice of what I asked them. But do you know, when I went back home, I was telling you guys, somebody called me and said, that parcel of land, I want you to have it. I didn't ask for it. In fact, it was so surprising because she was insisting that I take it, do the paperwork before I leave. You must take it. You must take it. That's what she was saying. You must take it. I didn't pay for it. A dime. But what am I trying to tell you? If you use your own senses, it didn't work. Try God's own. There is the one. You see, there is something about God. If you are a doubter, if you don't think this works, at least where you are sitting now, came by prophetic instruction. Where you are sitting, where this place you are in, you know City of God. Some of you know us. It was the day the man of God prophesied and said, God is giving you a building, a property. And we only had 4,000 building fund. In my spirit where I was sitting, I felt strongly God was so it into that prophetic word. I called Pastor Victor and I told him, we took all the money from the bank, 4,000, and gave it to the man of God and said, this is for the building you saw. Take 4,000 pounds. With 4,000 pounds, give you this. But this belongs to City of God, debt free. It's not a mortgage. We don't owe any bank. There is no bank's money in this place. Absolutely. This, the whole premises here, the other hall, everything you see here belongs to City of God. How did we get it? Prophetic word. If you have tried your own, it didn't work. Try God's own. If you have used your senses, when they say, give an offering, say, I give. You have been doing, why don't you do it by God? Let's see if God, he said that God is not the man that he should lie. Not the son of man. It's when the spirit of poverty wants to keep you perpetually in bondage so you don't come out. That is when it begins to whisper to you, I don't give up. That's what they say, don't give up. Don't give up. If you give now. And you remain there. Then you hear people come to testify. You say, okay. And you are sitting there. You haven't come out. Somebody is testifying soon. Because that spirit is broken from your life. In the name of Jesus. I'm going to round up here. I'll continue on Wednesday. How to destroy the spirit of poverty. Because of time, I'm just going to leave it here. I will pick it up on Wednesday. Let's rise up on our feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest. Kaligada bago sipra taila go sapra tatas. Zendi gratus kapakatila goski hia patados. Lege de barabashanda hilagosa. Lege hilabodo go supretekete. Somebody begin to thank God for the word of God. Just thank him for his word that he has given you today. Go ahead and just bless him for his word. Mashike teke 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 tila. Zula brande lege de gedo sigla desa. Mandila bo subrade kelibrados. Father, we worship you, we thank you, we honor you, we glorify you, we magnify you, we bless your name, O God. Mashiglanda ratia subrata kita lekus kapakatila gosipratatila zendele kretus kihi kapagados lebratus eigrata. Thank you, Spirit of Grace. Thank you, Spirit of Christ. Thank you, Spirit of God. Masha iladosa lekle subranda lagadesa. Oh, mashatata. Shikala gadades, Sekila bakatakatata. Somebody say with me, Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for the release from the spirit of poverty. Today I declare every satanic siege over my finances, over my life, is destroyed today. In the name of Jesus, I come against every spirit of hard labor without reward. I destroy it today. In the name of Jesus, I come against the spirit of abandoned projects. In the name of Jesus, I destroy it today. I come against every satanic distraction over my life. In the name of Jesus, I come against it. Every distraction of legality against my life, every distraction orchestrated by the spirit of poverty against my life is destroyed today. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I come against the spirit of slumber, every satanic slumber putting me to sleep when I'm supposed to be awake. I destroy it today. In the name of Jesus, I come against the spirit of laziness, every spirit of slothfulness, every spirit of fatigue, every spirit of weakness in my body, in my mind. I rebuke you today. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over the waster, the spirit of the waster. I come against you today. In the name of Jesus, you are destroyed today. In the name of Jesus, I come against the spirit of wrong association, of bad association. In the name of Jesus, I destroy it today. I come against the spirit of stinginess. I come against the spirit of tight-fistedness. In the name of Jesus, I destroy the spirit of poverty from my life. In the name of Jesus, I declare my finances are released right now. The siege is over. The siege is over. Over my finances, the siege is over. Open your mouth, just begin to declare that. Bakatula katatasa, lekete. Every point that we have prayed about, every one that pertains to you, every abandoned project, come against the spirit of abandoned project, come against satanic destruction, come against everything that wants to hinder the joy of God. As God increase you, increase resources, increase your joy. Come against the spirit of weakness, slumberness. Alebra suka la bakatula zedigra to su plata hatakata landebra tu sehikatatas. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I declare release over your finances. I declare release over your finances. Every form of satanic distraction, unnecessary expenses, I come against that spirit that brings unnecessary expenses your way. I destroy it today. In the name of Jesus, every legality that Satan used to hold you in one place, saying because of this law you cannot do this, because of this law you can't go the next level, because of this law remain where you are, I stand to destroy today. I command it destroyed today. I command it destroyed today. I command it destroyed today. In the name of Jesus, every form of abandoned project, I put upon you grace to pick up again. Every project you start, I declare you will finish in the name of Jesus. I declare the finisher's anointing upon you. That house you are building, you will complete it. That project you started, you will complete it. That decree you started, you will complete it. In the name of Jesus. The there are people who have projects back home that they are doing and they got stuck in the middle. Today, in the name of Jesus, I come against that limitation. I remove it in the name of Jesus. I release finances into your hand in the name of Jesus. I put resources in your hand. Resources for your marriage. Resources for your family. Resources for your children. Resources upon your life. In the name of Jesus, I come against weakness, fatigue, every form of slumber, the spirit of the waster, every wrong association that Satan has tied you into, every stinging spirit, I take authority over it. I destroy it from your life today in the name of Jesus. I declare by the word of God, the siege is over. The siege over your finances is over. The siege over your finances is over. I declare financial overflow. Financial overflow. Financial overflow. Financial overflow. In the name of Jesus, I declare supernatural jobs. Supernatural jobs. Supernatural jobs. I declare business opportunities. Business opportunities. Business opportunities. In the name of Jesus, I declare that your career open up. I declare your career open up. I declare your career open up. In the name of Jesus, every labor you have labored that you were not paid for, every hard labor without return, right now is your season. Every year you labor for nothing, I declare, receive your reward now in the name of Jesus. Receive your reward now in the name of Jesus. Your labor is rewarded. Your labor is rewarded. Your labor is rewarded. These 7 years of plenty, I declare unto you, you will experience it. You will be a partaker of it. You will testify of it. Your mouth will be full of it. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We give you praise, O God. Blessed be your name forevermore. In Jesus' name, let the people of God shout amen. Come on, shout amen. Give God some praise in the house. Clap your hands.